In 2 years, the U.S. Census Bureau will try to account for every single person in the United States. Getting an accurate count is important. It affects the number of representatives states send to Congress, the amount of money that goes to Medicare, and much, much more. Right now, the Bureau is conducting a dress rehearsal of sorts of its new census in one county, in one state, the smallest state in the union, Rhode Island. While Providence County looks like it could be a good choice, the Trump administration's immigration policies may have an impact on this test run. One of the most densely populated parts of Providence County is Central Falls, a majority Latino city. Plus, there are reports of general chaos around the census test that lead to headlines like this one from The Intercept. Countdown, how the Trump administration is botching its only trial run for the 2020 census. The author of that report is Sam Adler Bell. He is a senior associate at the Century Foundation, and he wrote this piece for The Intercept, and he's in studio with us. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thanks.
Well, we both discovered our love of Providence because we both went to the college there, the Brown University.
That's right.
So we speak from experience about the small and dense nature of Providence County. But I want to talk about largely the census test run, because I'm not sure a lot of people even knew that there is a test run for the census. What is it? What is it hoping to measure? What's being tested out?
So usually they do multiple full test runs of the census. In previous census years, they've done between 3 and 4. And the purpose of these dress rehearsals is to get a sense of whether all the very complicated systems that are involved in the census are going to work together, whether the message they're putting out about why people should fill it out is being successful. And, you know, the census isn't a massive civic undertaking. It's, you know, people who work for the Bureau will say it's the largest and greatest sociological survey in the world. And so pulling that off successfully means many, many years of careful testing, making sure the questions work in the current political environment, making sure people are filling it out and people are comfortable filling it out. And so that's the purpose of these tests. It's extraordinarily concerning, and that's one of the things I focused on in the piece, that they're only doing one this year.
Why are they only doing one?
Well, until very recently, there was enormous funding challenges for the census. The Trump administration has not been prioritizing it. I talked to census experts who said that typically in the years ending in 7 and 8, the funding for the census goes up between 70% and 80%.
Wow.
And in the 2017 budget request from the Trump administration, they asked for a 2% increase. Now, most recently, they've funded it much more much more significantly. Mm-hmm. In the latest omnibus bill, they boosted it a lot. But before now, they had to cut 3 tests in other parts of the country because they didn't have the money for them.
So there's been a lot touted about this high-tech methodology that they want to test out. What is it? Is it that high-tech, or is that just some lingo that we're getting?
Well, it's significant that for the first time, the Census Bureau is going to prioritize people filling out the census forms online. There was a pilot program of an online option in 2010, but it was mostly shelved. This year, they are prioritizing online response. So when you get your census form in the mail, you'll get the first one will just say, go to this website, enter this code, and fill out this form. And that's a pretty significant change. That means enormous IT infrastructure that hasn't been used before. And that also means that in communities where there's lower broadband density, less access to computers, there's another higher chance of an undercount in those communities.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the underfunding, because there was one official who said, we take very unkindly from the municipal level underfunded mandates, whether it's coming from the state or coming from the federal government. So the underfunding seems to be one of the issues that local politicians and leaders are pointing to when they talk about, hey, if you're going to do this test run, do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so the main things that I should say that the census test in Providence County is a hugely scaled back version of what that test originally was going to be. So they were going to do, as they have done in the past, a census test that tracks the exact same schedule as the census, that has a full advertising, community partnership, outreach program, and that basically looks exactly like the census that's going to happen 2 years later. Because of funding cuts in Rhode Island, there was no partnership or outreach or advertising at all. That means that most people didn't know this was happening. When I was on the ground reporting there, the only evidence that people had seen who were not very much in the know that this was even happening was posters on telephone poles advertising short-term jobs to participate in the enumeration.
Just the jobs part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, and that's extraordinarily challenging because, especially in hard-to-count communities, and hard-to-count communities tend to be minorities, immigrants, young children, people who tend to be poor. Those communities tend to need a much more specific, tailored message to get them to participate in this test. And if you don't have an opportunity to test that message and make sure it works, you're not going to have a successful census.
Yeah, to your point about the outreach not being that successful, that if you go onto the Bureau site and they talk about the test, they have their own hashtag, which is hashtag 2018 census test. And I plug that into Twitter. There was not a hit. Nobody has hashtags.
It's not a sexy topic.
Not really. Not the greatest hashtag either. But let's follow up on the point that you made, which brought you to decide to focus on Central Falls, about these hard-to-count communities. Tell us a little bit about Central Falls. Where is it? What's the demographic breakdown?
So Central Falls is north of Providence. It's 1 square mile. About 20,000 people live basically piled on top of each other in that space. And it's a majority Latino city. It has a lot of Colombian immigrants, a lot of Central American, Guatemalan immigrants, Salvadoran. Has a small population of Cape Verdean immigrants as well, which is a immigrant group in Rhode Island. And it's poor. And it's a place where a lot of people live in houses that have a lot of different families in them. People are living multiple occupancy. And all of those things make it hard to do a successful census.
Local leaders, though, have tried to explain to people, we need you to be counted. It's important for you to be counted. In fact, in the previous census, they had a really pretty dynamic outreach campaign, correct?
That's right. So in 2010, there was a really impressive kind of campaign that was run by local community leaders there to make sure people got count. They had a slogan. It was, if they don't count us, we don't count. And that's really true. I mean, as we know, political representation is determined by the census. So if, for example, in Central Falls, in the 2000 census, they were listed as a 48% Latino city. But everyone knew that it was majority Latino. That was obvious.
Right.
So in 2010, the stakes of getting a successful census and getting as many Latinos counted as possible were very high. So there was this robust campaign. I mean, people said it had a campaign feel about it. It felt like a gubernatorial campaign or something like that. And everyone came together to make sure that it was successful.
Times have changed.
That's right.
Different administration.
Yeah, and I think, it's important to keep in mind that in 2010, there were enormous challenges, too. I mean, that was really the beginning of the secure communities era in immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. President Obama, for all that he did well, he did increase deportations very significantly. And people were terrified in 2010, maybe not at the level they are now, but it did take a really, really concentrated, focused, tailored campaign to make sure that Latinos and other immigrants in Rhode Island came out for the census.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was interesting in researching is they want to make sure that people understand that if you are a census taker, you have an ID card. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make sure people understood that not to let any person come get your information or to at least be aware.
Sure. But I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the Census Bureau has done its own research on this. They did a qualitative survey of immigrant communities in 2017, and they found that people are terrified of the federal government right now. Mm-hmm. Whether or not somebody has an ID card, a person from the federal government knocking on your door is a scary thing. And a lot of people in their communities, what they're telling each other is, don't answer the door. Just don't answer the door.
There was an interesting story in your piece. By the way, we're speaking with Sam Adler Bell about his piece for The Intercept, Countdown, How the Trump Administration is Botching Its Only Trial Run for the 2020 Census. Will you share that story with us?
Sure. It's pretty startling, but it was during that survey, there was an enumerator who went by a cluster of mobile homes where there were some Hispanic immigrants living. She knocked on the door. Nobody came. She heard that there were people inside, so she left to leave some information at other doors. When she came back, that mobile home, that family was literally driving away. They were moving their house away to avoid having to talk to somebody from the government who they didn't know.
That's very chilling. When you think about it.
We could see that all over the country.
Now, we want to point out that the questions that are being asked now are about everyone who's here, not the citizen question, which I want to talk to you a little bit more. So the census that's going out now, the census in Rhode Island, does not include the question, are you a U.S. citizen, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, the census that's going out in Rhode Island looks exactly like the one that will go out in 2010 with the exception of the citizenship question.
That's the exception.
Yeah. And it's a big exception.
Yeah.
It's also the case that the reason that they're using that form, those 10 questions, is that typically when a census question is added to the form, they do years and years of testing to make sure it's not going to have an unintended effect on turnout or in response rates. So the fact that it's not on that form is because nobody thought that that was going to happen. And they were testing the form that everyone expected to be used in 2020. And it's one of the most terrifying things about the citizenship question that it hasn't been tested in the current political environment and with this particular census methodology.
So let's back up and catch people up. I think a lot of people know what we're talking about, but Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross announced that he wants to add this question about citizenship to the 2020 census. Are you a U.S. citizen? There's one argument that says we'll have a better sense of who the citizenship is of the United States, and you just shook your head. No.
Well, I mean, there is a survey that already tracks citizenship, and that's the American Community Survey, the ACS, which is done every year. And it's a sampling survey, which means they don't have to count every single person. And all evidence suggests that that survey's information is adequate to serve the needs of the Justice Department, which says that they need citizenship question to enforce the Voting Rights Act. And I mean, frankly, it should make us all laugh that this administration is saying that they need extra data to enforce the Voting Rights Act, which they have made clear is not a priority for them. They haven't done any voting rights enforcements, which was relatively common under previous administrations. And the fact is that the data that they need is available in the ACS already. The thing about the census, because it has to be an actual enumeration, they have to count every single person. That means that the total effect of asking the citizenship question is terrorizing communities all over the country. They can't just talk to 10 people and then use, you know, survey methods to sample it out to count for 1,000 people. They have to count every single person.
So to be clear, the folks who set out this test run, they had no awareness that the citizenship question was coming down the pike.
I mean, there were swirling fears that it might happen. And while I was reporting the piece, it was actually before the citizenship question mm-hmm. came out for most of the time I was reporting it. And everyone I talked to said, well, there are already huge problems. We're really worried about the underfunding. We're worried about the absence of leadership at the top of the Census Bureau, permanent leadership. Mm-hmm. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. And then I would say, well, what about the citizenship question? And almost all of the census experts I spoke to would respond like, well, we can't even think about that.
Can't even go there.
Because if that happens, we are sure that it will jeopardize an accurate count. I mean, they said that many of the experts I said there's no single thing they can imagine this administration doing that would more certainly sabotage a successful census in 2020.
So what about the local leaders on the ground who have been so encouraging of the community to come out and fill out this census? How do they feel? Do they still feel like that needs to happen and should happen? Or are they... Well, obviously, they're aware of what some of the fears are.
Well, it's important to point out that, like, the fears are understandable. It is the case that federal law is very explicit that the census cannot share this data with other agencies. So the fear that ICE is going to use this list of people who are not citizens to knock on every door and deport them is not founded. Although, why would anybody trust the Trump administration? They have made it clear that they're capricious, that they changed their mind, and that they'll use the law in, you know, creative mm-hmm. ways to achieve their ends. I would say that the community leaders on the ground are doing their best in a really hard situation to encourage people to participate in the test, but they don't have enough funding to do their own outreach program. And there's also a concern on the part of national civil rights groups that if they self-fund a successful outreach program in Rhode Island, that they'll be putting lipstick on a pig and saying mm-hmm. that, you know, if the Trump administration continues to be negligent, that civil society will pick up, you know, the slack. And doing that might not serve the interests of the communities they represent in the long term.
We're speaking with Sam Adler Bell about a story for The Intercept, Countdown: How the Trump Administration is Botching Its Only Trial Run for the 2020 Census. We should also point out that New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman and 18 other attorneys general are challenging this citizenship question. What is their basic argument?
Well, they're arguing that the citizenship question is unconstitutional. It's very high up in our Constitution. It's the first, you know, specific thing that the federal government is supposed to do, is do a quote, actual enumeration of everyone who lives in the country. And so if the attorneys general can prove that the Trump administration is knowingly undermining that count for political ends, that would be a violation of the Constitution.
Something I think that's interesting is the gentleman who is the administrator for the East Coast has had this job for, I think, 21 years, something like that, and it's a nonpartisan appointment. Yet there's something about this that feels partisan. Not necessarily this gentleman, not necessarily the people who are out there working the census for the Bureau for this short time. But there is something about this that just feels off.
Well, I think it's important to point out that people who work for the Census Bureau tend to be fairly nonpartisan, even apartisan. I mean, they're people who are statisticians, demographers, geographers. They're committed to the success of this enormous undertaking that a lot of them are really excited to participate in because it's such a cool, huge project. They're not partisan. They want to do the best job they possibly can. And it's become clear that people inside the Census Bureau did express concerns about adding a citizenship question. The National Advisory Committee, which advises the census, has said that they that they're against it. Scientists within the Bureau expressed concerns about this, and that will be a big part of these lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Because if the Census Bureau had evidence and analyses inside internally that said, if you do this, it will cause this kind of level of an undercount, then that's unconstitutional.
In your reporting, could you ascertain why they chose Providence County?
So Providence County, their justification is that it's representative demographically of the nation. And there's an extent to which that's true. I mean, it has a sort of representative number of different minorities and immigrants. But they were also supposed to do trial runs in rural Virginia, West Virginia, and in Washington State on Indian reservations. And they were supposed to do full trial runs there as well. They didn't because of the underfunding. And a lot of people have expressed concern about that because with the high-tech, quote-unquote, high-tech census, West Virginia was a great place to test that methodology because there's in that particular county they had chosen, there was not a lot of internet connectivity. There was a report from University of New Hampshire that showed that 40% of African Americans in the rural South and 40% of Hispanic Americans in the rural Southwest do not have internet access. So doing those tests in these other places, Indian reservations have their own problems. Mm-hmm. The Indian people who advise the Census Bureau on Indian Affairs said a couple years ago, we do not think that online response is a viable option right now.
Wow.
So testing in those places would have been really great. It would have been really helpful, and they're not doing it because of underfunding.
Yeah, and these three places, the way you describe them, sound like three places where there are underserved communities, generally speaking, not just in this particular case. So it would have been interesting to hear about their lives in terms of data sets.
Definitely, and it's also important to think about what the census is. I mean, these hard-to-count communities, the communities that tend to be undercounted in the census are also the communities, in many cases, that are the most needy, that mm-hmm. need the most federal resources and deserve to have federal representation in Congress and their state legislatures, which is also determined by the census, to make sure that, they're getting what they need from the government. So the thing about the census is it's sort of like it's an exponential harm. I mean, it creates the conditions for more harm down the road because people who are already underserved are going to be undercounted and then they're going to get less resources than they need to solve their problems.
Two questions. I want to go back to when you talked about people being able to fill out the census online. Will there still be the mail-in version?
Yeah. So if you don't fill it out online, there might be two, I'm not exactly sure, there might be two notifications about filling it out online, and then you'll get a paper form. So you have that option. Mm-hmm. If you don't fill out the paper form, eventually you'll get a knock on your door from an enumerator who'll fill it out with you in person.
So when you said a knock on your door, I can imagine someone from Central Falls might feel like that knock on the door is very frightening.
For undocumented families, for families that are have mixed status families, which is a huge number of people, there's estimates that there are a million mixed status families in New York. So that means that some people in the family have documentation and some don't. They may not answer the door either.
And then they will be underrepresented and then possibly underfunded. So
exactly. It's
just this...
It's a cycle.
This cycle. And also, if we remind people, how much money are we talking about?
So annually, it's $675 billion from the federal government, and that includes money allocated for Medicare, for Section 8 housing, for SNAP benefits, that's food stamps. Mm-hmm. So it's an extraordinary amount of money. And so the census really is sort of a way, one of the huge ways in which we distribute economic and political power in this country. The representation element is extraordinarily important, too. I mean, to bring it back to Central Falls, in 2010, the fact that they were able to prove, definitively, we are a majority Latino city, helped to, galvanize Latinos in that community to come out and vote, and also to get the proper representation, so that this mostly white city council became a majority immigrant, majority Latino city council over the course of the next decade. And one of the people I talked to a bunch for the piece, James Diosa, who's now the mayor of Central Falls.
He was elected when he was 27, right?
Yeah. They call him the kid.
He's smart.
Yeah, he's very smart. And he was elected in 2013, the first Latino mayor of this majority Latino city. And in large part, you can point to the census for that.
So interesting. So those are just the tangible, actual, practical, and we'll just take it out of the theoretical.
Right,
for
right.
The moment.
Sometimes people get, in the weeds with the census and it sounds like something boring, but it has these extraordinarily, important impacts on people's daily lives, their political lives, their economic lives.
So where does it stand right now in Central Falls?
So, I mean,
where are we in the process?
The test is underway. People have gotten their surveys at home. They're filling it out online, hopefully. One of the things that's interesting about that is that they've changed the way that they're going to do what's called group quarters. So one thing is we mentioned Brown earlier. Mm-hmm. The colleges in Rhode Island, there's a ton of colleges in Providence County.
Sure.
They're going to count those group quarters in the test in July or June. And you can probably imagine something that's wrong with that.
I was like, I blinked at you for a minute because I was
did.
Like, what?
That's right.
Took me a minute to...
Yeah, so I mean, college students aren't going to be there when they do that count. They're going through the process. One of the things that I found in my reporting is that the Census Bureau isn't doing what they normally do, which is called a post-enumeration survey to tell how well did we do. So in addition to rolling it back and making it sort of setting it up to fail, they're not going to be able to tell exactly how badly they do fail.
So this might sound like a ridiculous question, but how's it look for the 2020 census based on all this reporting and information?
Look, I mean, it looks bad. I mean, the citizenship question is really concerning. And all the, evidence suggests that it will cause an undercount. One of the things that the administration said in their justification for including the citizenship question is, look, we don't have definitive empirical proof that it will cause an undercount. And that's true. But the reason they don't have definitive empirical proof is because they haven't tested this question in the way that they ought to. So both the reasonable conjecture of people who know the most about these issues suggests that it will not be successful. But in addition, the absence of, definitive proof shouldn't make us feel good. It should make us more concerned because it means that they don't know what's going to happen.
Quickly, can anything be fixed at this point?
Yeah, well, hopefully the administration, the lawsuits are successful and they're, this question is deemed unconstitutional and they have to take it off. Congress can pass a law that says that they can't include this question on the census, and that would do an enormous good for a successful census in 2020.
All right, so it is to be continued.
To be continued.
I've been speaking with Sam Adler Bell about his story for The Intercept Countdown, how the Trump administration is botching its only trial run for the 2020 census. Sam? Good to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, former Long Island Congressman Steve Israel with his novel Big Guns about the crazy politics of gun control in the country. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after the break.